Renaissance pastors from around the Northeast Ohio area here with us today. To my immediate left, I have Pastor Roscoe Heath of New Praise Ministries in Euclid, Ohio. I have Pastor Henry Wallace from Grace Baptist over on Buckeye in Cleveland. And we have Pastor David Kinlow of Word of God Community Church from Canton, Ohio.
You know, praise is part of the Christian life.
Yes.
But praise is not discipleship.
Absolutely.
Praise alone won't enable you to grow in Christ. And so the Christian life, it is an amalgamation of a variety of things. And all of them have been alluded to in this particular conversation. But I'm glad we finally got to the place of the Word of God in this whole thing of Christian maturity, Christian discipleship. And I got to read Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Whoever the writer to the Hebrews was, I personally believe was Paul, but whoever wrote it, I believe it was Paul, but I won't start a new denomination over that. It seems he was writing to someone at this point, they were spiritual babies. And this is why the writer, I believe Paul, says they needed milk rather than solid spiritual food. These believers who they could only receive spiritual milk were such because he says they were not accustomed to the word of righteousness, not accustomed to the word of God. But in contrast, solid food, and I believe that solid food consists of the deeper truths in the word of God. It's for those who are spiritually mature, those who have great discernment to detect what is good and what is evil. And in this passage, it really seems to teach spiritual maturity and the word of God are inseparable. A strong diet of the word of God, or as we in Black Renaissance would say it, the frequent, systematic, accurate teaching of the word of God is one of those inseparable ingredients that produces the mature believer. While lack of that, it leaves spiritual babes. This is why I personally believe it is very difficult, and I may get in trouble for saying this, I believe it is very difficult for a person to mature in Christ as they really should be when their diet consists of a 10-minute sermonette on Sunday morning.
Sure. That's what I was getting ready to say.
I just do not believe you are going to see the mature believer.
I don't think you're getting in trouble for that, saying that.
And well, I will with some. And I think this is why you see the church world in the condition that is in today. There are probably many people, they cannot stomach what we've been talking about in this discussion. Because they haven't received these sound, fundamental, deep truths of the Word of God. And you have a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they're being fed Sunday to Sunday on pablum. The 10-minute sermonizing, you know, the 15 minutes. And
hour of praise and worship, though.
I got an hour of praise and worship. I'll come back to Pastor Wallace, but I call it bacon and candy. Now, I like bacon, and I like candy, but I can't. I'm not allowed to eat it. But if you had a baby, and you love that baby, but all you fed it because you loved it is bacon and candy, this is what Pastor Heath was alluding to. You can get in there. You could preach for an hour. I've listened to people preach an hour and a half. And because it was bacon and candy, folk loved it. Mm-hmm. Didn't want them to sit down.
Sure.
Okay. But no matter how much I love that baby, eating bacon and candy will eventually kill it. Mm-hmm. Now, it'll be fat when it dies. Okay. But it's going to die.
And die of malnourishment.
That's right. But in churches, we have people, they could sit for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and listen to bacon and candy, and have a wonderful time and not realize that they're dying spiritually.
Well, that's how you grow the church, though. Amen.
Well, you can grow one that way.
Yeah. I've grown wrong.
I quoted Acts 17:11, and the reason I love Acts 17:11, if you look at that passage where it says they searched the scriptures daily to see what they said, these were the apostles that they were searching behind. And I like to liken what Brother Pastor Kendall alluded to a moment ago about Christians not being able to handle strong meat of the word. And I believe it's because they think that it is going to be the preached word that's going to grow them strong in the Lord. And I'm going to say something that might sound heretical, but I don't believe that it will be solely the preached word from the pulpit. I like to liken what I do on Sunday morning to going into a local restaurant. And at the top of the menu, they basically have what's called appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that when I am preaching, that my job is to be an appetizer, to present the word with clarity and power and accuracy, to create what an appetizer does. They make sure the appetizer, it tastes good. Because the appetizer, if it tastes good, then the person says, man, I can't wait to get to the entree. So I believe that 30, 40-minute preaching moment on Sunday morning, on Wednesday evenings, and those teaching moments should create a thirst, a hunger to grow deeper. I really do believe that. I don't think that that a Christian is going to grow and become a spiritually mature Christian just from hearing a 15-minute sermonette. I absolutely do not believe that.
I agree with that, and I will further say that, you know, what you, it's part of it. You know, what you eat, it greatly determines who you are.
That's right.
And so I believe the strong, fundamental, sound preaching and teaching from the Word of God, it should produce a thirst in those who hear that.
Absolutely.
To go deeper into the Word of God for themselves, but the opposite is also true. If you're not getting much, it'll inspire you to seek the same. Not much.
Well, that's true.
That's absolutely
true. That's absolutely true. I understand what you're saying, too. One thing we have to do is, though, is respond to the word that is being preached, whether it's little or much. And if we look into in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, that's what their problem was. They had Paul as their pastor who's preaching to them, but they're not obeying.
Right.
And so there can be no growth unless there is obedience to the word of God. And what do we see in the Corinthian church? We see, he says, I would like to give you some meat, but you're not even able to take it because you're babies.
Right.
Okay, because you're following Paul or Apollos or this one and that one. And then in the fifth chapter, you have them having a problem with some man who's having an unlawful relationship with his father's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but at the same time, these are saved people because they're exercising spiritual gifts. So they're and some alleged spiritual gifts, but some are exercising spiritual gifts. Paul says that, and yet they're living carnal lives. Okay, and so what lends to spiritual growth is not only the preached word, the accurate, systematic preached word, but also the response of the believer to put that preached word into practice.
Amen.
And that's why many people are spiritual runts, because they will not exercise godliness.
Mm. And this was the problem of the Hebrews in chapter 6.
Mm.
These were people who had heard the word and who had had all the experiences consistent with salvation, but who, because of their lifestyle, were unable to progress. Now, I don't want to get all into Hebrews 6, but they were, after all of that, they were unable to progress.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot progress if we want to be hearers of the word, but not doers of the
word.
Let me mention something to go back to what Pastor Wallace said for a second. In order for a person to go away from the church and delve into the word, and I call this discipleship, they have to know how. And when a person leaves the church, they've heard a great sermon, one way or the other, they have to know how to study the Bible. They have to know how to read the Bible. These are not things that just fall on you.
Absolutely.
Somebody's got to instruct them. What did the Ethiopian eunuch say? How can I, lest a man guide me?
Right, right.
We're not teaching sometimes people how to read the word for themselves, how to study for themselves, how to memorize the scripture for themselves, how to meditate upon the word on their own so that they can actually get something out of it. I think their main teaching comes from church, but you can help, you can augment that personally.
Yeah.
The other problem that we have is because they don't know how to do these things, they cut on the TV and the radio. Now, we're on the radio right now, okay, but there's everything on the radio is not suitable for Christians, even though it might be labeled Christian.
Absolutely.
And if that's true on the radio, it's doubly true on television. Okay. You can find poison on the radio and television, doctrinally speaking. So it's very important for pastors and for Bible teachers to ensure that their people know how to read and to study the Word, and so that they're not out looking for Bible teaching on the side of the road somewhere, because what they're going to find is something that most responsible pastors won't want them to consume.
Amen.
Rich, you alluded a moment ago to a term. You said that, or the premise is that not only must we teach and preach accurately, but people need to know how to go and take that and study. And so that means, as pastors, application is so critical. Not just the proclamation of truths, but application. How do I apply that personally in my life? I liked a story I read a few years ago about the photographer who was out in nature, and he was out taking nature pictures in a park. And while he was out there in the park, there were a lot of kids out there playing, 4 or 5 kids out there playing. And so he's taking pictures everywhere. After about 10 minutes, one of the little boys ran up to the photographer. He asked a question that really kind of caused me to think about application. You know what the little boy asked the photographer? He says, "We've been noticing you taking pictures for the last 30 minutes or so. When are you going to put us in the picture?" And you know, when we're preaching and teaching, could our parishioners who are listening to us, could they be saying, "Well, yeah, that sounds good, and I see that right here, but when are you going to put me in the picture? When are you going to show me where this applies in my life?" And I think that's the critical piece of preaching and teaching. It's not just the proclamation of truth. That absolutely has to be correct. But how do I apply that in my own personal life?
Amen.
Hello, this is Rich Walker of Black Renaissance Ministries. Our vision is cultural renaissance through spiritual revival. And we are continuing our series, Ask the Pastor. And we have 3 men of God here today who represent Renaissance churches throughout the greater Cleveland area. We have Pastor Roscoe Heath of New Praise Ministries in Euclid, Ohio. We have Pastor Henry Wallace of Grace Fundamental Baptist in the Buckeye section of Cleveland. And we have Pastor David Kinlow of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. And what we want to do is give each of these men an opportunity to tell us a little bit about their church and about their ministry. Let's start this time with Pastor Wallace.
Thanks, Brother Rich. Our church is located at, as he mentioned, in 12604 Buckeye. And the fourth Sunday in June, we'll be celebrating our 25th year. As I mentioned earlier, the word fundamental in our name is intentional to highlight the fact that we believe in the fundamental truths, the fundamental teachings of the Word of God. We place the highest premium on the clear, systematic proclamation of the Word of God, the literal interpretation of Scripture. We're evangelistic in our outreach. We believe one of the major responsibility, the purpose of the church is to evangelize the lost and to seek to edify the learner or the disciple in Christ.
What is your web address so people can find out all about your church online?
www.growthengrace@sbcglobal.net.
Okay. Pastor Heath, could you tell us a little bit about your church and also your your new website.
Mm-hmm. New Praise Ministries. We're located at 436 Euclid Square Mall. If you could just find the Euclid Square Mall, we're in the South Center entrance. At the South Center entrance, you come down there to the middle of the mall and make a left, and we're right there to the left. And our ministry is a multicultural ministry. Very dynamic in its preaching and praise and worship, and we have a very, very strong emphasis on biblical teaching. We have two Bible studies throughout the week. In fact, all of our services have biblical teaching in it. And our website also is www.newpraiseministries.com. And it's we're still working on it, but it's very, very nice, very interactive, a lot of information on it about all of the particular ministries. We have about 12 different ministries you can get involved in, and everyone has an opportunity to play a part in the glorifying of God.
Thank you. Pastor Kinlaw, could you tell us about your church and about your website?
Okay, I pastor a Word of God Community Church. This is my 23rd year as pastor of this church. As Pastor Wallace and Pastor Heath have said, we put a high premium on the Word of God. We still believe that God has magnified His Word above or beside His very name.
Amen.
And we still believe that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. It's very interesting to me that when our Lord rose from the dead, the first thing He did was have a Bible study on the Emmaus Road.
That's right.
And so, you know, if the resurrected Christ put a high premium on the Word of God, we want to do that also. We are gospel-centered. We are evangelistic. We support missions. We have a variety of ministries in our church. But most importantly, we want to lift up Jesus and Him alone and preach and teach a sound Word of God. Our distinctive is we emphasize the fundamental essentials of the Christian faith. Right now we are in the process of developing our website, and so hopefully it'll be up shortly. I was working with the brethren on that today, so hopefully the next time we're here that we can give you that website.
Now you've got a brand new facility, brand new building. Could you tell us that address one more time?
It's 3504 Richmond Avenue, Northeast, Canton, Ohio.
Fantastic. We're going to move on to our next question on our Ask the Pastor segment, and we hope to make this a regular segment in our broadcasts. Pastor Kinlaw mentioned that Jesus had a Bible study right out of the resurrection, and I want to note also that the first reference of Lucifer in the Bible also takes place in the Bible study with Eve. Okay. And for that reason, Renaissance is on the air. Okay.
Amen.
So the first recorded Bible study in the Bible was with the devil teaching.
Wow, what a segue.
But we're going to talk now about something, a little change of pace. We've talked about the question of whether you can lose your salvation. We've talked about the subject of how is it that Christians grow. And now we're going to shift gears and talk about the question of whether apostles and prophets still exist today in the way in which they existed in the early church. And I just wanted to note that the definition of an apostle is one sent with a special message or commission. And but there's also another sense of the apostle as a special spiritual gift and officer of the early church. So there are two uses of the word apostle. But I'll throw this out to the group of my esteemed colleagues, and let's get the ball rolling on the question of whether apostles and prophets exist today in the 21st century in the same way as they did in the early church, or do they exist today at all?
Let me state emphatically and without any reservation and without any apology, there is no one holding the office of apostle in the church today, and I do not believe there is a prophet in the land in the same vein as Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Isaiah, who is speaking ex cathedra from the throne of God and who are receiving new revelation from the Lord. So you just won't misunderstand me before we even begin the discussion.
I don't think it's possible to misunderstand what you just said.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
All right.
And I want to say unequivocally the exact same thing. It's kind of like the old man who was asked, what do you call a five-legged sheep? He says, still a sheep. Just because you say it's got five legs doesn't mean it's not a sheep. You can say something. So just because someone claimed to be, I can claim to be a millionaire, but if you check my checking account, you will find that I'm woefully lacking.
Well,
so there is a profession, and then there is a possession.
Well, I know just, I heard an announcement in my church just this past Sunday that two apostles were coming to the mall. So clearly, you guys are mistaken. Or else these weren't legitimate apostles. But I like the way that the question was phrased, and I'm interested in us moving forward from that. In terms of the apostle, an apostle compared from today compared to the early building of the church. And if we look at the qualifications of an apostle, I think that disqualifies most men who would call themselves apostles today. Number one, to be an apostle, you have to have been an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 9, he is referred to.
Okay.
Acts 1, 21 through 22 says
the
same thing.
And we will read Acts 1 and 21 right now. Therefore, this is after the resurrected Christ, and they were going to choose the 12th apostle because Judas had committed suicide by then and was rejected. And so now they're in the upper room, and he says here, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. That's number one.
Yes.
In other words, they were with us the entire time that Jesus Christ was walking the earth.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then it says, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us. Now that disqualifies everybody else today.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So to be a legitimate apostle of the order back in the New Testament time was, number one, you would have had to have seen Christ and walked with him. Number two, he would have to have been a witness to his resurrection. And it says that they proposed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen. So that's the other thing.
Yes.
An apostle has to be chosen by God.
Yes.
Okay, you can't proclaim yourself an apostle and be legitimate.
Absolutely.
And he says, whom you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And one other thing that we see with the 11 apostles, with the 12 apostles, is that they had miraculous abilities.
There you go.
Absolutely.
That's an important third point.
That's exactly
that's
right.
A third point. They had miraculous supernatural power.
Supernatural power.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And two passages that refer to that is 2 Corinthians 12:12 and Acts 2:43.